This is Making Sausage on Northern Community Radio. I'm Heidi Holton with our DFL commentator, Colleen Nardone. And today, Representative Erin Murphy is with us. She's a DFL legislator who is in her sixth term. She represents District 64A from St. Paul. She's recently announced she's running for governor, and she joins us in the studio. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Colleen, you want to begin?
Erin, we'd like to know a little bit more about you, your background, experience, and why you're doing this. Why you and why now?
I am so happy to be here and to be able to talk with you about this. So I am a registered nurse and have been since 1985. I'm a teacher teaching at St. Kate's in the School of Nursing. I'm a mom. I have twin daughters. They are now 26 years old. And I'm a state legislator and have been for 11 years. And I'm running for governor because I believe in a politics to improve people's lives. It's what I was taught when I was a young kid. When I'd go to my grandparents' house and they would play cards and talk politics, I would hang out with the grown-ups and mix their drinks. That was my penance for staying inside. And I would listen to them talk about what was going on in the community and what they wanted to do about it. And politics was always a part of that. I believe in our capacity to build a bright future for the people of Minnesota, if that's our intention. And I want to do that with the people of Minnesota. And for 11 years, I have been spending time in communities all over the state, not just passing through and doing a radio show, but time in people's schools and in our hospitals and clinics, in people's homes, in their garages, in their barns, in their farm fields, and in community centers. And Minnesotans have been my best teachers, and they are practical people. We care about each other, but we know that when we work together, we can do what we need to do to tackle the challenges in front of us. And I want to do that with the people of Minnesota, and that's why I'm running for governor.
What do you think are some of the biggest challenges? What are some of the topics that are near and dear to you?
I wouldn't have predicted this when I filed for office in November, but the thing I hear the most about from people right now is healthcare. They're worried about access and they're worried about cost. This is something I've been working on for 25 years, and I come to it as a nurse. I think people who are sick should get care, period. And we're not doing that right now in Minnesota. And I'm exceptionally concerned about what they're contemplating in Washington, D.C., and what that will do not only to care provision for people here in Minnesota, but also to our state's budget and to the state's economy. And I think people are all over the state worried about it. They want to make sure, right, for themselves and for their loved ones, if someone needs health care, they get it. And I want to make sure we deliver on that promise for the people of Minnesota.
Would you say health care is like your signature issue in this campaign? I mean, I'm thinking of the way Mark Dayton made early childhood his signature issue. Would you say health care access is yours?
So when I ran for office, it was after taking care of my mom at the end of her life. And my mom and dad had worked hard to earn their way into the middle class. My dad worked for GM and built cars for a living for 40 years. My mom was a homemaker and worked part-time at the grocery store behind our house and in the canning factory. Seasonally, we had corn and beans all around us where I grew up. And then she cleaned houses for a living, and I did that with her when I was in college. They worked very hard, and they earned the health coverage that comes with a decent job. And despite that, when my mom got sick, she still had to fight with the insurance companies to get the care that she needed when she was going through her treatment for cancer. And frankly, that really ticked me off. And it is the reason why I ran. Her sister said to me at her funeral, "Erin, you should go home and fix that. That's no good." And I ran for office for that reason, but it didn't take me very long to recognize that if you are in pursuit of healthy people, you have to think about more than a hospital and a healthcare clinic, right? You have to think about strong public schools and education, the means to support your family, a safe place to live, the infrastructure that gets us from point A to point B. All those things fit together. So, yes, I think healthcare is a top issue in this race. And I've spent 25 years working on healthcare here in Minnesota, beginning as an organizer supporting the passage of Minnesota Care. And I've got good ideas and a path forward for us. I'm a supporter of single-payer healthcare. I think it is time for us to move in that direction, and we can do it here in Minnesota and lead the way once again, and I want to do that with Minnesotans.
Okay. What are your plans? How are you planning the race for governor? What will you be doing to meet people, and what will that look like?
You know, I learned in my very first race that my job is to listen more than it is to talk. I remember being asked by somebody, "Why are you running?" And I didn't have a very good answer in the beginning. And I spent time going to doors and door knocking because I could have a better conversation with people. And when I stopped talking and started asking questions, Minnesotans told me what they wanted, what they were worried about, the things that were hard about their lives. And it was the right preparation to serve the district that I now represent in the legislature. And now for 11 years, I've continued that door knocking, not just in St. Paul and Minneapolis, in safe Democratic districts. I have been door knocking in swing districts and rural districts where it's hard for a Democrat to get elected. And I do it because I want to hear from the people of Minnesota. We've been doing organizing house parties, a place where people can gather and spend time talking about what they hope for and to get a look at me. It's not a fundraiser. It's just a chance where we can talk together for an hour, hour and a half. And we're doing that all over the state of Minnesota. And then I'm doing things like I'm on this trip, right? We're doing meet and greets. We were in Bemidji this morning. We're going to be in Nashwauk next. And we're here in Grand Rapids today. Meeting with people, talking with people, learning about the things that are working, what we could do better, touring businesses, meeting teachers in the classrooms. Wherever there are people showing us the way, I spend time there. And I think that's how we not only prepare to win this race, and we're going to campaign across the state to win this race. And some would tell me, you know, you don't need to campaign all over. You can campaign in the Twin Cities, in Duluth, and in the Iron Range, and you can win a statewide election, but you can't govern that way. So we're spending our time all over the state of Minnesota. I'm talking about a progressive vision for the state. I think that's how we win. And when we win, that's how we're able to govern and lead the state and make the change that we need to do.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the process of getting things done in the legislature. As I look at the last few years, the word train wreck comes to my mind. But what bothers me the most is the procedural way we got there. There is almost no transparency. The decisions are all made behind closed doors by a small handful of people. And I don't know where the governor's role is in that. I wonder, as governor, would you have an impact on changing that?
I would. And I'm real clear about this. And it's funny that you were calling this show the sausage-making show. We're talking about that because that's what we often refer to when we are making legislation. And it can be sometimes an ugly process. But these last few years have been really awful, I think, for the people of Minnesota. And I haven't seen such closed-door activity and negotiations. And, you know, before I was elected, I worked for the Minnesota Nurses Association. And so I'm familiar with union contract negotiations. I know how that works. But this is a public process, and too much of it is happening with a few people behind closed doors, and it's not yielding a good result for the people of Minnesota. One thing that I would do, and, you know, Governor Dayton has done a great job of this, right? He spends a lot of time talking about what he wants to achieve, and I would make sure I would take that on the road and build support with the people of Minnesota for an agenda, because when we're together on that, I think we're pretty unstoppable. I would be really clear with the legislature about my expectations, what I would support and what I wouldn't support, and I wouldn't change my mind on that. You can't once you've laid that out. And then the last thing, at the end of session, you know, we've seen now 3 years in a row where we're getting major pieces of legislation on our desks within hours of them being finished. We haven't really had time to read them, nor has the public had a chance to read them. We went into a special session 1 minute after the adjournment of the regular session. The staff that work in the legislature and members didn't have any time to sleep. So one, I wouldn't call a session so quickly. I would make sure everybody had a chance to get some sleep and get some rest. People who are trying to force a deal like to use the pressure of time. And that's why I think the Republicans insisted on a special session called at 12:01. But everybody was fatigued, and it was not right for our staff and for their families. That was wrong. I wouldn't sign a piece of legislation that wasn't public for 24 hours, even if I liked it, even if it's something I supported. If it wasn't public for public review, for the legislature to take a look at it too, I wouldn't sign it. And I would make that clear to the legislature as well. There's no reason why whatever's happening behind closed doors can't be made public. And I think we lose the support of Minnesotans if we're not willing to say this is what's happening behind that closed door, if the negotiation is happening there. Work should be done in the conference committees. Not enough of that happened this year. And if there are negotiations happening at the end with the governor's office, if I'm the governor, with the legislature, I'm going to come back and make sure through the press that we're letting Minnesotans know what's happening step by step, so nobody's surprised at the end. We'll take our time and we'll get it right for the people.
The other thing that has bothered me, because I wasn't familiar with it till I started reading in the newspapers about the constitutionality of mixing budget bills and policy bills, and yet that's becoming more and more common, and no one seems to be enforcing it. How do you feel about that, and what would be your response as governor?
So when we put these omnibus budget bills together, they often contain policy that is about the budget. That's normal. And it is a means to, you know, pull together, this is what we want to do in healthcare. What I think people are objecting to now is that there are extraneous or not related to the budget pieces of policy that are being put into the policy bills in order to get them signed into law, because they wouldn't get signed into law on their own. And that is where we are violating the Constitution in that single subject clause. I think the way we stop it really is with a legal approach, right? Someone would have to sue the legislature to enforce the Constitution, and I know that Senator Marty is talking about that. But the other way to do it is for Minnesotans to say, cut that out. You know, get your job done and do what we sent you there to do. Stop playing these games. We don't need to bury environmental policies that the governor wouldn't sign alone in a budget bill to try and push him to get something into law that he objects to. And as governor, I would make that very clear that if that's in there, I'm not going to sign it. We have to push back. We have to police ourselves, and we need the people to say, you know, to us, we're going to hold you accountable. Don't do that anymore. We don't like it.
Sounds to me like you're planning on making the people your partners in your administration.
I absolutely believe the people will be my partner in this administration. It's important to me. As a nurse, when I was responsible for the care of somebody, my job was to do my very best job with their consent. So you have a compact, a relationship with that patient, and you have the job of making some decisions, even if the decision in front of you is not one you want. You still have to follow through. You can't walk away from the care of a patient. And I don't think we should walk away from Minnesota's future. You shouldn't. But when the voters send me in, I feel like I have that same responsibility, that same relationship with the voters to do my very, very best job. And I want to do it with the people, because that's where our power is rooted. The power of one office is not the office. It's the people who put you there. And they will be my partner if I'm elected.
You know, you said you are visiting places outside of the Twin Cities area. Do you hear different things that people are saying? I guess I'm thinking, you know, someone listening to you now, we live in small towns, and sometimes it feels like Minnesota is, what we hear that's coming out of the legislature does have to do with the urban area, not the rural areas. What's your take on that?
So I, you know, grew up in a little town in southern Wisconsin. I was born in a place called Columbus, Wisconsin. So I know that feeling, right, of living in a rural community or a small community far away from where it seems like the action is. We all come from a place with a zip code, and I have one too, but we're not defined by our zip code. And as I have gotten to know Minnesota and its regions, we have different strengths and different economies depending on where we are, and that's what makes Minnesota Minnesota. And if one part of the state is struggling, then Minnesota is struggling, and we got to look out for everybody, right? Well, that's my whole point. When we allow a political narrative to divide us, whether it is by geography or if it's by ethnicity or if it is, name the thing, party, when we allow ourselves to be divided in that way, someone is going to lose and someone's going to win. And that's not good enough for me. We're stronger when we're together, and we're in this fight for our future together. And so I hope the people who are listening to me recognize in me a person that is interested in all our future, in Minnesota's future, not just the Democrats, not just the people who live in the metro area, but all of us. And it's my intention, and that's why I'm running.
Well, there may be a question you hoped we'd ask and we didn't. This is your time to answer that before we go.
Well, it's not so much a question, but I grew up in a family that worked hard. It was sort of a sin in my family to be lazy. We would work hard and then we would have fun. That's what my mom used to always say to us. And I have been super fortunate in my life in so many ways. But hard work has always been central to me. And the job of running for governor is a tough one. Governing the state is a harder job. And I'm going to work every day to earn the seat. And when I get it, I'm going to work and fight every day for the people of Minnesota. I'm delighted to be here with you today. I'm glad to have the chance to talk with the people who are listening. Thank you for listening in. And I can't wait to get to know you better. Thank you.
That's Representative Erin Murphy. It's Making Sausage. You can, if you tuned in a little late, you can always hear this conversation on our website, kaxe.org.
Happy days are